It's time for another splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 30 Rackway, the beautiful Buckatorium. Fantastic New Windsor, Illinois. COVID-free New Windsor, Illinois, as far as we know. And we're all here. Anybody coughing? Anybody coughing? Get the hell away from me. I'm Steve. There's Doug.
Howdy.
Eric.
Yep.
Kurt.
What's up?
How you guys feeling?
I feel great.
Anyone got a fever?
Not yet.
No buck fever?
I got a Bush Light
19. Not yet. We got a few months to get to that.
Turkey fever.
Hey. Dude, I'm starting to get turkey fever.
Dude.
I've never had turkey fever this
I'm
hard.
I'm not.
If we get like full quarantine during turkey season, it's going down.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
There's I worse bet you things. I still like, won't shoot one.
Eric, you wouldn't want to shoot one.
No. I think you would want to, though.
No, I just sit
stuck
in
the house.
It's like, I love your hatred for turkeys, man. It's so entertaining. But I relate to it a little bit because I ride the line.
But think how good a video would be of Eric killing a turkey and just like, fuck you. I did it. I still fucking hate turkeys.
I'm upset I actually did this.
Just beating the shit out of it. Dude.
Eric goes like reason. Eric goes full bro at a bar. He's like, yeah, knock that motherfucker down. I'm like, calm down, Eric. Good God. All right, just go back to hating turkeys.
To Jake, bro. Settle down.
Bro, you smoked a Jake, man. He had a limp, too.
He had one leg.
Limpy Jake. The podcast is presented. I'm cutting right in. See what I'm doing?
Yeah.
The podcast is presented by, tell me, Steve.
It's presented by HHA Sports.
I'll see if you're paying attention.
No, because I was checking my phone because I thought I was getting blown up.
Okay. Nah, you never are, bro.
No, that doesn't happen. Not at all.
Go to sleep, brother.
What's your favorite thing about HHA?
Other than Scott Bakken, the fact that all the sites are made right here in America, Wisconsin specifically. I love the durability of HHA, man. They put up with a lot of shit, and I'm
especially to back it with a lifetime warranty.
Yes, and I'm kind of reckless with shit, kind of on purpose just to prove a point. And
you got to put it to the test.
You got to put it to the test, and that HHA has held up very well. And I'm probably gonna bust that rig out tomorrow and get some shooting in.
Yeah, I think Eric and I just made an executive order for the podcast that you got to bring your bow, and we're gonna shoot for a half hour before every episode.
If you don't bring your bow, go home.
See, for HHA sites, I'm the opposite. I'm like, when I bump into something, I'm like Joe Dirt's like, oh, did I hurt you, baby?
See, but I'm like that too, though, because you can never be too careful. But yeah. The bulletproof man.
Oh, yeah.
I watched my dad dive, like, straight dive onto his HHA in Colorado when we were elk hunting.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh, we might want to check that, and it was nuts on. When I shipped my bow to Oregon, I, like, was so nervous about it, and it was dead nuts. When I got there.
Everyone's done that, walking in the morning when it's pitch dark out and you slip and fall, and your first thing that hits is your sight, you know.
Or, like, when you're pulling your bow up to your stand and it clinks off everything.
Yeah. Clink, like, clink, clink.
When I went to Oregon, I get out there, and the two bow hunting guides that were out there, they're like, all right, let's go out and shoot a few arrows and see how you are. And I was kind of like, it was kind of like a test a little bit, I think. Like, how good is he? What are we working with here? And, well, first, for me, I'm like, hopefully my bow's sighted in. So I did a 20 just to make sure, so I didn't send one into the back 40. And money.
You didn't zing it like at the shoot where you were shooting.
I had it at 100 and shot at 20. No, I didn't do that. And then I went back to 60 and put one in there, like, just money. Like, it was just on. I was just shooting good, you know? And they're like, all right, well, okay, we're good now. And now we know. I'm like, yeah, what's up? No, I didn't do that. But I quietly walked off. I was like, oh, this is great for me. This looks
good. You don't say anything. You just walk away.
I'm just like, psh.
You're like, oh, bro, this never happens.
Leave the arrow in the target. You're going to remember me.
Keep it. Like, why?
You want me to sign that one for you? Or
like, man, this guy sucks.
What a cocky asshole.
Keep it. That's awesome, actually. The podcast, speaking of my Oregon hunt, I went out there with Loophole. The great people from Loophole. We did a couple podcasts, had a ton of fun. Great optics. I basically lived through the lenses of Loophole stuff. And their sunglasses are hitting like any day now.
Yeah.
Available. And those are killer.
I need a pair because the sun's too bright, man. I got nothing better to do than stare at the sun.
Future's too bright. Just wear them inside. The podcast is also brought to you by Thermoseat Victory Archery. We're all shooting the RIP TKOs. That might change up this summer. I'm not sure what we're going to switch to. I like the RIP TKOs. I have no problem shooting
those.
The
new ones are dope, though.
See, yeah.
But they got that new coming out.
I might have to take a peek and listen to that podcast.
SS's or something?
podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm excited to shoot the Cure. We were a little insight. You know, right now we're all shooting Rituals. We're probably all going to shoot the Cure this year. Steve, you might shoot the... You were talking to Larry. Larry was saying you were interested in the Ember.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at the Ember. I did like how the Cure felt a little bit better, but I was a big, big fan of the Ember grip because it reminded me of the... the Enlist. It had the same grip as the Enlist. And keep in mind that Enlist, everybody was like, oh, that's kind of their budget bow. And it had just a real nice, it's like the built-in rubber grip.
Well, so, if you like the feel of that, then that's what you like. It doesn't matter how much it is.
Exactly, yeah. So, and I was like, well, and that's why I said. I was like, that don't matter. And I wanted to shoot the Ember, and I liked it. But I do like the Cure a little bit better, but... If I could mess around with them a little bit more, we'll see.
Well, I'll tell everyone this. We were supposed to give away a bow at the trade shows that got canceled. And for now, I think what we're going to do, we're going to do an online giveaway. And we're going to somehow, I'm not sure how we're going to do it yet. But if you don't already like us on Facebook, I do that. And I would subscribe to the podcast. You should do that anyway. Come on.
Yeah.
But we're going
to
be.
I hope so if they're listening to this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could have stumbled maybe across not. It.
But it's your boy.
I don't know what they do.
It's your boy.
Podcast also brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Use code WCB at everythinglonewolfcustomgear.com. And, I mean, it's a leader in mobile tree stands. Truly mobile, truly designed to be a setup that works together on your back. You go in streamline, you go up streamline, you kill what you need, you come down streamline, and you have a good trip to the taxidermist. It is a game changer. If you hunt public land, if you hunt a spot where... You want to be in a different spot every time. If you just like to switch spots every few sits, you can do that too and run out of them.
I just flip the switch. I've been watching way too much TikTok lately, dude. I'm sorry.
Should have rot your brain.
It does.
You might as well huff gas.
I signed up and it does rot your brain.
Dude, Doug was on TikTok for like hours.
Dark hole. Sucked in.
It's a dark hole.
Big time Joe, he's on TikTok like nobody's business.
I'm avoiding it like the plague.
The podcast is also brought to you by Big Time. Joe Humphries, famous on TikTok.
Yes, he is.
We will be all planning Big Time food plots this spring and fall. And the Iowa Boys, which is everybody in here but me, will be using the supplemental feed.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, including Happy Hour, which I've drank before. And I'll tell you what, there is no cherry flavor about that. It is
salt. Hunter's Blend coffee. Love it. I got to double check the code. I heard our code didn't work, but we got to get it going. Maybe they dropped us and I don't know, and we're giving them a free plug.
Yeah, exactly. They could have done that.
We'll see if we get our coffee this month, huh? Also, Old Barn Taxidermy. And, man, my antelope's back, and it looks real nice.
It's real nice. Hey, was that a public land antelope?
Dude, I kayaked in on the prairie.
Yeah.
on a little creek.
Yeah. Two flat tires on your mountain bike.
It was a puddle. I kayaked through it.
Kayak 3 miles and skied in another 4 miles.
Yep.
He did that
uphill
like
both ways.
Yeah. The only problem was like my antelope was just small. That's the only thing I wish I could have changed.
Yeah.
You know, but that's on me, you know?
It's bigger than any antelope shot around here.
Apparently, taxidermists don't do that.
No. I'm like, dude, add 4 inches on each side. It's no big deal. Just do it, you know? And they didn't do it. So I was a little upset there. I'm kidding. But no, it looks great. I got my $2 there. I'm excited to get Creepy back and my other 10. I got just a spot for them.
Oh, there you go.
And can cooker, because I cooked ribs in that motherfucker the other day, and goddamn.
Were they good?
Oh, man. Let me tell you about it. Put your ribs in there, and whatever seasonings and barbecue sauce you want and all that, you put it in there on the little
all
rack.
All the fixings?
All the fixings. You do fixings. What you want there. Yeah. Be creative. Have a good time. Put a beer in it. I don't care what you do. And then you boil it. Seal it up and basically get it to steam. Let it steam for 45 minutes. Pull it out. Broil them for like 5 minutes. And put some more barbecue sauce of your taste on it.
Oh, lather geez. It on there.
Holy shit.
Paintbrush.
Paintbrush them on.
You wouldn't want to, what do they say, slap your mama? It just makes you want to right-hand somebody's grandmother.
That's oh, my God, they're that good.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you just slept my grandma. It's like, dude, those ribs were out of this world.
I ate the ribs, and I got aggressive. I was like, why am I mad right now? Because these are so good that someone needs to know about it.
Somebody needs to get knocked out how good these motherfuckers are.
Yeah.
Wow, that's what Steve's for.
Yeah. That shit happens in Memphis probably every other day.
Oh, that's
people get slapped left and right there.
That's why there's so many shootings.
Well, if you have good barbecue, you got to light somebody up. I don't know.
Dude, when you got wet ribs, you want to make someone's T-shirt. Shirt wet, you know what I'm saying?
God damn it.
And this is why we are
who we are.
The dumbest podcast in hunting.
We are. But scientifically, you know who we didn't cover, and this is science. This is going to help your ass right now. If you guys don't have scent crusher gear right now with this bullshit going around, bro.
Dude.
Telling you.
You already have the corona then, probably.
Yeah.
I bet you do. You might as well quarantine your ass, because peep the last episode.
Yeah.
Had a good convo, Dan Drake.
There you go. I'll just go out there on record and say it. If you want to catch COVID-19, as what the technical term is, don't buy any scent crusher. But if you want to avoid that, if you want to keep your family alive, this is just opinion right here.
At the time of recording, we can't say that it kills COVID-19. But it does kill H1N1, flu viruses, germs, and
I'm about to plumb my unit in my furnace. Just get that whole home, you know.
Dude, I got mine, the unit, from one of the bags in the bathroom, the studio bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and you can get the one deal that hooks up to your washer and dryer. Check it out.
I got the boot one.
Yep. I think it's dope.
So it works great for rubber boots.
I need the boot one, too.
Yeah.
It's stank.
Champion level stuff.
Tell you what.
And they got more new products coming down the line. We'll talk about that a little more. But anyway, Steve, you got a veteran shout out?
I do, actually. Why do I say actually? That's part of my job. I do have one.
I was going to do one with the Dan Drake episode and the Clint Casper one, but I didn't want to be I didn't want to give a lame veteran shout out just by myself, because I feel like you're a little more patriotic than me. Not that I don't appreciate them, but I feel like...
Well, I do have a mullet, so...
I mean, Exhibit A.
Yeah, I have a mullet and a bad credit score, so I am very American.
Yeah.
I love this country because I can get away with shit like that.
You probably eat fast food just a little more than me.
I eat
fair amount.
I bet you'd be sickening how much fast food he eats.
It's bad.
Dude, if you eat Culver's, no one judges you.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
The amount of pizza triangles from Casey's that I have in my truck are
acceptable. Hey, Casey's, what's up? Sponsor us.
Yeah, come on. Where you guys at? By the way,
Doug had to sit in the back seat because there were so many pizza squares in the front.
Dude, his truck was dirty.
What do you expect?
All I'm saying, if Casey's sponsored us, only thing I'd ever eat or drink would be only shit you get at Casey's.
Oh, yeah. Can confirm, by the way, that...
Steve lost my GoPro in his truck for like 6 months.
It was buried under a bunch of...
a bunch of shit.
I'm like,
dude, Casey's.
You can tell, like, so you know how, like, you got, like, layers of, like, rock that people can, like, geologically tell? Like, well, you just look at the date that the pizza was going to be unfresh by... Which, I mean, that pizza lasts for like 3 days. Don't ask me how I know that. But, like, yeah, when I found it in between there, that's why I knew where I lost it.
That's fair.
Anyway.
You dated it back.
Yeah, anyway, can confirm they did used to sell, and they still do, hunting licenses. Somebody messaged me
and said... Oh,
they still do? Yeah, but it's like, they said it's like the ice cream machine at McDonald's. It never works.
Because I don't want to do it.
Probably. Anyway, the vet shout-out this week is Russ Klein. Russ. Not like the singer. And this is sent in by Miranda Epperly. If you guys know who Miranda Epperly is.
Yeah.
This is her boyfriend.
Who's that?
Good old Russ.
So, yeah.
Great dude.
So, he was in the Navy. She says, my boyfriend, no offense, Russ, I love you to death, served in the Navy on the USS Abraham Lincoln. We listen to the podcast when we're in the car together and think you guys are all good shit. He's not a bow hunter himself, but sat with me when I got my buck this past season, hoping to get a bow in his hands this summer. And
that's awesome.
Why they put a cowboy on a bike,
dude? I think about that every day.
Oh, every day.
So let's tell the story about
my
Russ.
Fucking ass off so when she tells this story.
So Miranda is a buddy of ours. We have a mutual friend, Wade from Gator Outdoors. Awesome people, good people, people you want to be surrounded by. So she was telling us this story. you know, Russ went there as a non-hunter, but I mean, of course, he's open to it. He knows his girlfriend's into it.
Shit, yeah.
So he gets to ATA, and if you've never been to ATA, when you walk in, there's like giant banners like you've never seen, like banners the size of your house. Yeah. There's banner like it. The displays, the advertisement is unreal. The amount of money people spend on ad is crazy. Well, I guess there was a picture of Jim Shockey, you know, classic Jim Shockey look on like an electric bike, you know, the big rave, whatever brand. And of course, he doesn't know who Jim Shockey is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's a legend to all of us. And I guess he's like, why is there a cowboy on a bike? And thinking about it as a non-hunter, it's like...
It's fucking hilarious.
It is so funny.
It's hilarious.
But... and I guess everybody that was with him blew up on him like, that's Jim Shockey. He's like a legend in our industry. But if you didn't know, You'd be like, why is there a cowboy on a bike? Like, it's right, justified.
Yeah, right.
But
what do you people do again?
I swear, I have ever since she told us that story, I've thought about that almost every day since and laughed
just a little
bit. She
told us that story at the Iowa Classic, and we all fucking died.
It's fucking great. That is so funny. Because, I mean, why not? But
thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service, Russ, and thank you for the laughs that you have provided. He's super good
shit. We just roasted a veteran while...
but I'm sure he's laughing because it's funny. She makes him listen to this shit. And he got to know us. We first met him at the Illinois Deer and Beer Fest.
Yep.
And then got to see him.
I was going
to
say ATA is when we met him. But
and then, yeah, we saw him at ATA. And then he's at Iowa Deer Classic. And, man, it was
a good dude.
He's a good dude to get to know. So thank you for your service to this country. And get a bow in your hand so you can come to the shoot, which is June 20th.
We got to get them, too, in studio.
Yes. They definitely need to
come
down.
Look up some Jim Jockey videos.
Yeah, well,
that might help.
Black Jockey?
Black Jockey.
I got some really old Jim Jockey VHS.
Oh, boy.
They're great, man. I love them.
Do you still have a VHS player?
No, I got to get one. If anybody's got a VHS player, then
you can still buy them.
Yeah, they're expensive as fuck, aren't they?
I think I have one that
Amazon
works still somewhere.
Do you use it ever?
No.
You know what I'm going to do?
Watch old pornos.
When I've, oh, sweet.
Oh, my God.
Nah,
your dad, Marv's collection that was in a Hog Barn?
Nah, I lie.
Hog Barn? That was the name of a porno company, Hog Barn. It's just a bunch of Iowa girls. It's like the Iowa girls and the corn stalks. Like,
times are tough, man. Right now.
Dude, well start it's quarantine, it. Man.
Yeah, but, dude, I'm super happy about the times being tough because, dude, I can't wait to all, like, the huntresses. Like, they can't go out in places, so they got to start OnlyFans, and I'm like, yes.
Fans only?
Have you seen that meme with Adam Sandler? This is how I win.
No, what is
it? It said when all the it was a MMA meme because I follow a lot of fight pages, but it was like when all the fighters aren't making any money, so they have to start OnlyFans accounts, and it said this is how I win, and had one of Adam Sandler's characters. I don't know which one.
Oh,
I don't
God. No, I got to see that, dude.
But my plan is when I finish the garage, I'm putting a TV out in the garage. I'm going to make a big display of all my old VHS and DVDs I have.
Oh, nice.
So I want to put that out there. That way when we're out there drinking beer in the garage, we can play like old school Drury and Monster Bucks and Jim Shockey DVD or VHS and shit.
Oh, those are classic. Dude, you got to, I'll try and find like the old VHS, like the rewinder.
So if you actually got it and you don't use it, Doug, I will take it.
I'll have to look, but I'm pretty sure I got one.
Should we get on with the episode? We got to get Mr. Justin Czar.
I do think we should.
All right, let's do it.
All right, on the phone with us. Ooh, excuse me.
Yeah, you're doing great, man.
Let's go ahead.
Great start.
Again. You're doing great. Oh, man, I got the coronavirus in my throat. On the phone with us, we have the lesser half of bowhunting.com. We got Justin Czar. What's up, dude?
Oh, you know, just hanging out in the dungeon I call my basement / home office / prison, I guess, these days.
Yeah,
awesome. You
installed
bars.
So you're with a wife and kids, I'm assuming.
Yeah, my kids sound like a herd of elephants up above me running around, which is amazing for such small human beings. But yeah, they're all here. We're not going anywhere for a while, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta love it. Hey, at least you got that sweet, sweet stimulus package coming, baby.
Hell yeah! I got an antelope hunt to pay for in August.
Hey, oh, there you go.
Put it towards conservation.
That's right.
Yeah. Anybody out there, I'm just curious, if you had $1,200 coming your way and you were looking for an AR pistol, which one would you get? I'm asking for a friend.
That's fair. You better pay rent first, you idiot.
Well, that's it.
You do got to pay rent.
Well, Justin, welcome to the podcast.
They're forgiving rent, dude. You don't have to pay rent.
Oh, there you go.
Don't let these guys drive.
Hey, landlord's right here, buddy.
Hey, bro.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair.
That's right. Trump said so.
Justin, thanks for coming to the show, brother. Or you didn't really come here.
No problem, buddy.
We had plans for you to be in studio, but the whole deal, so this is how we got to do it.
Yep.
But thanks,
that's a bummer.
Thanks for wanting to drive to our studio.
I really did want to. It was on my calendar and everything.
I know. We planned ahead like a month ago and all that, and we were all excited. And then I'm like, hey. Well, I checked in with you like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, hey, we're still good if you're still good. And then like late last week, I'm like, we should probably phone interview this one.
Yeah. So, when they said like, don't leave your house unless you need to get food or you're dying.
Yeah. I was like, I'll call the governor. We'll make it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But the Clint Fawcett is welcome anytime, even during a pandemic, just saying.
Oh, that's fair. That guy. He's always stealing my thunder.
Yeah, we podcasted. Was that an Iowa Classic last year?
Mm-hmm.
And then we all went out after. It was a good time, man.
It was a fun time.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, man, thanks for coming. Tell the people who you are, if they don't know.
I'm just a guy that makes everyone on the internet hate me, I suppose. I guess if I had to put words to it, you know, I... unofficially or officially help run bowhunting.com and then co-host the Bow Hunt or Die show, which we just completed our 10th season of, which is freaking insane to me. Thank you. It's been a decade, which is just crazy. Where the hell did that go?
10 years.
You guys are the OGs, man. That's a long haul.
Yeah, that is a long haul. I mean, we started, like, the first year we started, it was us and Winky at Midwest Whitetail and Grant Woods with Growing Deer. We were all kind of like the three, all started the same year, you know, and now here we are and everyone's doing it now.
Yeah, is that kind of annoying to see that? What's your thoughts on it?
I've always been a believer of kind of the high tide raises all ships philosophy.
Yeah, and I like that.
And I think over the years, as people have given more credibility to the whole online thing, you know, at first they were like, oh, you're just online, right? If you're not on TV, you're a nobody.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, some of the biggest stars in the world now are freaking YouTube personalities, right?
Yeah, so I would argue that bigger than TV personalities.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, our society has just changed. And it's cool. I mean, it's cool to see all the new. I mean, the fact is, like, I'm not as young as I was. You know, I'm freaking married. I got a house full of kids and other responsibilities in life. So
what happened?
Yeah, I don't. 10 years happened, man. You know, so damn. I think it's, you know, it's cool to see the next generation of people that are picking this whole thing up and making it bigger and better than it's ever been.
Right.
You know, I think that's freaking badass. Even though it's annoying sometimes when you feel like you're getting your ass kicked by the younger generation, but it is what it is. We all get old sooner or later, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, I guess it's kind of, as long as no one's trying to rip off exactly what you're doing, like per everything you do, then sure. It's like, yeah, they're doing their thing, man. I mean, what they get out of that is what they get out of it, you know. That's the only time I have a problem, when I feel like someone's trying to just take your recipe exactly and just try and duplicate it. It's like, man, we're creators. So, I mean, that's going to cause a problem in no matter what industry, but it's
sure.
Now with so many people, man, it's hard to do something original.
Well, and that's the thing. There's only so many ways you could slice and dice a freaking hunting show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've seen almost every angle that there is to play in this world now. So I think a lot of it just comes down to the personalities on the show,
mm-hmm.
you know, really, I mean, it's like, it's probably like any, because reality is like, we are doing reality television.
Yeah,
people watch reality television for the personalities of the people that are on the show. You got to like the people that you're watching.
For
so
sure.
Thankfully, there's like 10 people that like me. So
now,
used to be like 100.
That's how we got. That's basically how this podcast got to be set up. I texted you. I'm like, dude, what do you do to the internet? Because I'm scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or something. But what I saw was someone shared your post and made a caption of, like, basically you being an idiot.
that was a really good meme somebody made.
I laughed my ass off because I was like, because I know how knowledgeable you are when it comes, like, obviously with the bow hunting.
We've been around for 10 years doing online stuff. You've hunted forever, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you review products, and you've been doing this, and I just laugh because I know you, and I'm like, that is hilarious.
I appreciate the troll factor a little bit too. So why don't you go ahead and explain what you said, and then we'll just conversate on it.
Yeah, I want to give this some background context.
Okay,
by the way,
that's fair.
I mean, so I will be turning 40 years old this year. I'm 39 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the internet was coming of age, like, let's say the late 90s. So it was my late teens going into my early 20s. Like, I've been on the internet. I've been on message boards and forums. Like, before a lot of these idiots that I'm fighting with, like, have been even around.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, and I've been arguing with people and trolling people since before trolling was a thing. Like, we used to go into AOL chat rooms and, like, troll people in chat rooms and think we were hilarious. So, like, this is kind of just my personality in general.
Right.
So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I don't know, I was scrolling through, watching some videos and seeing some posts. And I think where a lot of this came from was like our own Bow Hunt or Die Facebook group. You know, we have about, I think there's like 60,000 people in there. And it's like trying to manage 60,000 kindergartners sometimes,
right.
You know. And, you know, every time somebody makes a post about arrows and they're like, hey, I'm thinking about this arrow or that arrow, or all of a sudden everybody's concerned about how much their arrows weigh, which I'm not saying that people shouldn't be concerned about it, but the minute that you bring that up, it's like there's this whole group of just like weight Nazis that like descend in and they're like, if you're not shooting a 600 grain arrow, like don't even go hunting. Like you right. need FOC like out your nose. Otherwise you're not an ethical hunter. And those guys just like, it just infuriates me. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with shooting a heavy arrow. In fact, I would prefer everybody err on the heavier side than the lighter side.
Of course.
It's just the tone of these people like telling you like, you shouldn't even be hunting unless you're like doing it this certain way. It's just like completely absurd to me.
Right.
So I made a meme. I think it said something along the lines of like, it was the hard to swallow pills, which is a great, like it's a great format for a meme. And the hard to swallow pills said something like, you should worry more about your shot placement and less about how much your arrow weighs. Right. Which to me makes sense. Like it's more important to hit them in the right spot.
100%.
You know, I mean, that's just a statement of fact.
So I posted that with my own, of course, other caption that said something like, the 600 grain arrow people are now officially more annoying than the saddle people. Because the saddle hunter crowd, like, they were the people that were like, dude, bro, you got to hunt on the saddle. And,
right.
and what I love about the saddle crowd is, like, they all realize how they are. So there's a lot of, like,
now they do, though.
Now they do. There's a lot of them kind of poking fun at themselves, which I think is great. You got to have some humility.
Oh, of course.
To laugh at yourself.
Everybody does, man. Well, so, just to let you know, make you feel better, Justin, we joke around about the saddle community for a long time, and we have gotten some layered thick shit spread over us because of it. But I'm like, I had to get on the podcast and be like, I am kidding about this.
We're
this
joking.
Is a fucking joke. Like, we do this. Like, guys in our crew are hardcore saddle hunters. We've done it. We're joking. We're making fun of everyone when we joke like this. So it sucks that you have to do that, but you got to do it now.
Well, I think it was Kurt that brought it up. Like, when you do this, people, like, if they fit that mold of somebody that you're poking fun at, they automatically assume that you're talking individually about them.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, this dude is slamming me personally. So, like, I'm going to go on there and just, like, talk mad shit. Like, personally talk. Like, all of a sudden they were ripping on, like, me as a human being.
Right.
And they were like, you know, you're a fat old loser that goes to concerts and you're annoying.
So wear affliction t-shirts.
You still like, put concerts on your story.
Like, that stuff's all true. But damn, dude, I don't even know who you are. Like, there was guys that were just ripping me to shreds, like, on my personal Facebook page. And these are people that had friend requested me through the years. Like, I don't know who these dudes are. They're just probably just people that have watched the show and friend requested me on Facebook. I literally have no idea who they are. And they're just trashing me on my own personal page. And
I was that's amazing.
Like, dude, I never asked to be friends with you. Like, if you don't like me, then leave. I mean, I'm cool with that. It was just, it was insane. It got shared in a whole bunch of, like, different Facebook groups and shit. And I had, like...
Dude, you were getting roasted up.
Which, if anybody knows me, like, they know, like, I don't let it bother me. I think a lot of it's hilarious.
Publicity.
Yeah, well, I just think it's funny. I enjoy a good roast, right?
What I enjoyed about it so much is that, like, you didn't backpedal at all. Like, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, when I feel like I'm right, I'm not going to backpedal, right? I got to stand my ground, man.
Well, I do appreciate that a little bit because now people are touched about a lot of stuff really fast. And just with our vibe in general with the podcast, like, we talk shit, we're shooting the shit. We don't really mean most of it. Like, half the time when I say some shit that's like, ooh, I'm saying stuff for a rise out of people and a reaction, not that I actually believe in it, too. But what I have noticed, the guys, like the heavy arrow guys, the saddle guys, the kayak guys, the public land guys, not all, I'm generalizing here, but a lot of them are guys that have 5 years or less experience and have killed minimal animals. Have you put that together as well?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I hate to knock those guys because, like,
you can't knock
the next up-and-coming generation of hunters. And there's a couple dudes out there that are killing it. They're doing a good job, and they haven't been hunting very long. Shit, there's some of them that are killing more deer than I am, so good for them.
Right.
But, you know, it does annoy me when they come in and they act like they have, you know, many, many years of experience, and they've seen it all and done it all, and they know everything about everything.
Right.
And it's like, you know, from my perspective, like when it comes to arrows, it's like, dude, people have been killing deer with 400 to 450 grain arrows for decades now. Dude. And we've proven there's been millions of deer killed with them just fine.
Like, yeah, I did it for probably 12 years with under 400 grain arrow.
Sure. Almost every deer on my wall that I'm looking at was killed with a roughly 400 grain arrow. And it's just as dead as any deer killed with an 800 grain arrow. Like, dead is dead is dead. It doesn't matter how far your arrow goes on the other side. It's just, it just infuriates me, some of these
people. Well, how far did your deer go? Mine only went 20 yards.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, you know what?
It's still dead. Well, my arrow was stuck, you know, through a tree.
It went through a tree.
And then hit the deer.
Shot to a tree and then hit the deer.
What all this is, the original situation of what we're talking about is the broadhead argument. Or maybe there's one that I'm not realizing or thinking about. But, you know, and it also kind of goes to that a little bit. And if we want to dive into it, I'm willing to. But it's the broadhead deal. Well, fuck that broadhead. This broadhead. And I'm guilty of it along the way a little bit. I have broadheads that I'm like, I won't use them. I had a bad experience. But I'm not going to tell Eric, don't fuck that broadhead. Yeah, don't buy it. I'll be like, hey, man, I didn't have good luck with it, but you might. But, you know, maybe I shot a doe that was quartering away at an awkward angle and I hit her fucked up. That was my fault. So now that just...
But now you're trying to blame it on the broadhead.
Maybe that could be.
Right.
You know, there's a lot that plays into that. You know, certain broadheads are better than other broadheads probably, but shot placement, you could kill a deer with a... Not that I'm recommending that before people fucking blast me, but you could kill a deer with a field tip if your shot placement's on point.
In the head.
Right in the head. I was going to say that, right between the eyes.
Right in the brain, yeah.
Hey, not to totally change subjects or shit on saddle hunters, but do you think of saddle hunters... go shed hunting, if the antler weighs too much, are they not going to pack it out with them?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. So Todd,
they could drill some holes in it first.
Yeah.
Todd's big into cycling, right? Like, he's a spandex wearing bike cycler, which, I mean, kudos to him. Like, he's in way better shape than I am. He's not sitting in his basement drinking a beer right now like I am.
You're having more fun though.
But like in the from my understanding, in the cycling community, there's a bunch of people that are like uber concerned with weight, right? Mm-hmm. And like how much all their shit weighs. They're like the saddle hunters of cycling, and in the cycling world, they call them weight weenies. That's what they're known as. And I've always felt like now that we have weight weenies within the hunting community, like we should adopt that name. They are weight weenies. Ooh, because they're worried.
That's a good T-shirt.
These are the guys that are like cutting down their climbing sticks to save like 6 ounces,
drilling holes
in everything that they own. And like, dude, I can't carry a buckle. You want me to have a buckle on my strap? Dude, that weighs 4 ounces.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all my buckles off and I'm going to hand sew some bullshit strap in my basement.
I'm
going to
use Velcro straps from now on.
Right? because it saved me 10 ounces. And dude, I'm packing in like 2/3 of a mile, bro.
Bro, but I use... My favorite... So this is a subcategory under these people as well. And I'm sure we all fit... Every one of us could be put in some category somewhere. Like, I'll own that. The mile category, guys. The dudes that they're... I was 9 miles in on public ground. I walked 48 miles for that shed. Like, but 9 miles deep. Do you understand how far 9 miles is to be 9 miles away from public access anywhere?
And you're public hunting in Iowa? There ain't no track that big.
Dude.
That's what I say to everybody here in Illinois. They're like, I was 2 miles back. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I know where you're at. And if you walk 2 miles from the parking lot, in any parking lot, like, you're off the public.
Right.
Did you park your truck in town?
It's like, bro, you were parked at Casey's a half mile out.
And go in.
Well, I left my house on foot, so.
Yeah, is your car still in the parking garage, or what's happening here?
I throw those guys in with everybody that always says that they're hunting 30 feet high in a tree. Everyone's like, yeah, dude, I was 30 feet up. I'm like, man, where I hunt, there's very, very few trees that I can get in and be 30 feet up, number one,
because
they're just not that big. Number two, even if I got 30 feet up, I couldn't shoot jack shit because of how thick the canopy is. Like, most people get up 20, 22 feet, and they're like, yeah, this is plenty high. And I think a lot of these guys are like, yeah, I was 30. I've heard guys, I was 40 feet up. And maybe if they're down south in like a pine grove 40's
a stretch, bro.
But like, yeah, like nowhere in the Midwest. Like, I've hunted a lot of damn tree stands in my life, and there's probably, I count on one hand the number of them that have actually even come close to 30 feet. But that seems to be like the, dude, I'm 30 feet up. Otherwise,
that's
I'm not hunting,
the
dude.
One up stage. I have one tree stand that we started doing a vlog, and I walked up on. I haven't hunted out of it in years. Eric hunted out of it with me.
There.
It's one stand that's a touch over 30 foot high. And I don't know if I'd ever get up.
I was higher than that.
But it's funny in the vlog. I'm like, yeah, that thing's up there. I show the stretch up from the ground to how high it is. I'm like, yeah, oddly enough, never killed anything out of it.
I
think it's just too high. I don't know. But
anyway. For the record, I think saddle hunting is actually kind of cool. I am gonna try to do a little bit of saddle hunting this fall just to try it out, see what all the hubbub is about. I'm not against saddles, for crying out loud. Everyone's gonna rip my ass again, all the saddle bros of the world.
They should.
I'm in the process of acquiring a saddle, so when I get that thing, hopefully I don't kill myself with it and I figure out how to get up a damn tree. And if nothing else, I'd like to give it a try. I don't know that I'll
for sure
be a convert, but you can't really knock it till you try it, right?
Well, you know what's funny, and I guess this is probably a good time for me to bring this up. We hung out with the Tethered guys a little bit at the Iowa Classic. And there was a archery talk thread and probably a couple of Facebook posts somewhere that I ripped off Tethered and that I hate the Tethered guys because I work with custom gear. And so I ran into Ernie and the whole Tethered crew at Iowa, and they came up to the booth and said hi. I'm like, hey, we're supposed to hate each other. And they
didn't you guys get the memo? We hate each other.
And they didn't get the memo because they looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you didn't see the thread and all that shit? I was like, I gotta find it and send it to you guys. I'm like, we're supposed to hate each other, the internet says so. Like, I ripped you guys off and we hate each other, don't you remember? And they're like, are you serious? So we never ended up doing it, but I wanted to do a Facebook Live of me doing a live of our booth, and then the Tethered guys walk by, and then I'm like, fuck them guys, and then they come, like a fake confrontation, but it's like...
Steve gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Like, Steve, what the fuck?
Ernie just cold talk Steve.
They just punch Steve, like, randomly.
For no reason.
He wasn't even the guy talking shit.
I know. Like, bro, I'm not getting in a saddle. I got nothing to do with this.
They don't make a saddle that holds Steve's weight.
Yeah, they don't.
Steve's like, I hate riding horses.
Doesn't even know what saddle hunting is.
Yeah, has no idea.
Bro, where's the fucking bridle on this thing?
But anyway, like, it's just, that's one of those things that the internet does these days. Oh, it's like, all of a sudden, working class and Tethered are supposed to hate each other. And it's funny because I don't know how many beers I drank with Ernie at a Beer Can Alley in Des Moines. We sat there and chatted about sharing trail cam pictures and all the shit. We're all cut from the same cloth. Like, fuck, man. But
and it's a small industry, and everyone knows everyone. And for the most part, everybody's super cool. Dude, it's happened to us before. Like, so I went to Kentucky last year to hunt. We went down in the spring. I met up with this kid that I had met on Facebook, and he was like, yeah, I'll take you around and show you, you know, some of the public spots, you know, just so you kind of have a starting point. And we rolled up to meet him, and he's in the parking lot, and he's got a hunting public sticker on the back of his car.
Uh-huh.
So I gave him some shit about it, right? Just busting his balls, like, legitimately, like, dude, I think the hunting public's great.
Oh, they're
great. Watched a bunch of their videos. Dude, they've produced some of the most badass hunts I've ever seen.
Arguably the
right?
biggest dudes in the game right now.
For sure.
They're dope.
So, but in our show, this kid pulls up, and I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, you got a hunting public sticker on your car. I can't hang out with you. And that, like, made it into one of our shows, and oh, my God. All these people were like, why are you going to talk shit about the hunting public? Why don't you like those guys? I was like, oh, my God. Seriously.
It's a joke.
Everybody relax.
It's a joke.
Well, that wasn't...
Lord.
That's funny, man. But that's a perfect example of kind of what I'm talking about, you know? It's just like, come on, guys. Like, we're poking good fun.
You can't bust balls anymore.
No,
right?
You can't.
Everybody just gets up in an uproar. They call it the cancel culture, right? They want to, like, I'm gonna have you canceled. It's like, well, I'm on my own website and my own YouTube channel, so
no network
good luck
owns
getting
me.
Good luck getting me canceled from anywhere.
What's up, Steve?
Nothing. I was laughing about that. You were saying down there. I was like, was that Cody that you were talking about? But
yes,
yeah. Cody's good shit. He's another guy that's on Bow Hunter or Die, and it's amazing that you know, we're even having to have this conversation about just, you make a funny joke and people get in an uproar, and it's like, I guarantee if you look, like, half these people are the people who are like, oh, all these snowflakes are just getting up in there, blah blah blah. But it's like, everybody gets upset about shit, and then we have to, like, have a conversation like this, like, hey, we're
gotta
all
make a
good.
Statement, gotta right. cover
gotta
your
make
ass.
A, gotta make a statement. It's just like, dude, what happened to when jokes could just be jokes and you could just talk shit about people and then everybody has a laugh? It's just, it's kind of mind-blowing to me that we're at this
there's this whole push for everybody to be like, hey, you guys, man, just need to be more open. Just laugh a little bit. Don't take everything so seriously. And then you see your comment has, I think it was 255 comments, and people just going back and forth. And it's like, what happened? Well, how come people can't just laugh at shit anymore?
I found it entertaining.
It's funny.
I found it entertaining.
I do too, but there's people who are out there. It's like, stop taking shit. So take the serious shit seriously and take the jokes not seriously.
Yeah, there's nothing more I love seeing a meme like you made. I love seeing the comments more than the meme almost.
Oh, yeah. You just posting it so you can follow the comments.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, Justin, let's talk a little bit about Bow Hunter Die. And I have a funny comment before you do that. When I used to live with my dad in Port Byron, Illinois, and we had this awesome like cabin style house. We had this party basement where it was just an unfinished basement, and we always had black light parties. I'm only telling you this just for your enjoyment. And on the wall, I spray painted a neon green Bow Hunter Die. So it blew bright Bow Hunter Die on the wall.
What was that, like 15 years ago?
It was 9 years ago.
No. There you go. The beginning, the early days.
Yep. So it was probably 2013. Yeah, so it was. Because 2012 was when you started, right? And I killed one of my biggest bucks that year. So I that's how I remember shit in my life, when I killed bucks.
I had that conversation with someone the other day. I was like, I remember my life events based on, like, deer that I killed.
Yeah, for 100%, same thing. But I remember spray painting that on the wall in my basement, Bow Hunter Die. So everybody that came over to party and play beer pong, blacklight beer pong, that was what they saw on the wall.
Watch this, and I know this is true. What truck did the guy or buck, what was the truck bed like? Because I remember we've had this conversation, you're like, when we talk about vehicles, you're like, yeah, because we had this certain truck, and when the Garbuck was in there.
Oh, yeah, my dad had a GMC Denali Quadrasteer.
See? Because it was the one with the... that is weird. I never put those pieces together that's how you remember shit.
Yeah, it's the only way I remember things.
That's wild.
But anyway, I want to know about... And I want to know about a little bit of the history of Bow Hunter Die. Like, how did the idea come about? And then how did you guys even dive into that, like, that long ago?
Oh man, it's a crazy, it's a story. It's one of those things where it just kind of happened. There was no grand plan. So if I go back, we first started filming hunts, Todd and myself, and I think 2007, I want to say, was probably the first year we started filming hunts. And actually we began filming hunts with, Todd Pringnitz and White Knuckle Production. So I met Todd Pringnitz through Andre DeQuisto when Andre still owned Lone Wolf.
Interesting.
So Todd was doing some design engineering work for Andre. Andre was a customer of our other business. We were doing Lone Wolf's website work for him, and Todd Graff and Andre had been friends for a long, long time, well before I ever came into the picture. So my first ATA show, I met Todd Pringnitz. He was working in the booth with Andre. He was living in Michigan at the time, and he was hunting some public ground in Illinois down by Effingham.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I just kind of hit it off, became buddies. And then when he started, he moved to Iowa and started this video production company, White Knuckle, and he kind of recruited Todd and myself to be on the team. So Todd and I always wanted to film our hunts anyways. I mean, I was, you know, when I was a kid, my dad owned an archery shop back in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, I grew up watching, you know, the Wenzels, you know, I grew up watching the Drurys, just guys like that. I mean, I used to sit around my summer break just watching VHS videos of Roger Ragland, Best Kept Secrets videos and
hell
stuff
yeah.
like that. So,
Best Kept Secrets.
So, Best Kept Secret was that he was hunting on a high fence ranch. I didn't know that.
The best
time.
Secret ever.
So we bought a couple cameras and we started filming for White Knuckle. And then back in those days, Todd owned a website called huntingnet.com. And he sold it in, I think it was 2008, I want to say.
I remember that website.
He sold that. And then, you know, Todd's a pretty smart, business-savvy guy. And back in the mid-90s, he bought like 1,500 hunting-related domain names. Bowhunting.com happened to be one of them. So after he sold HuntingNet, him and I kind of powwowed about what we wanted to do next. He kept all the domain names except for the one that he sold. And we decided, you know, bow hunting is kind of where our passion is. So we decided let's do something with this domain name and build bowhunting.com. So I think we spun that up in like 2008, I want to say, was the first year it came online. and still filming for White Knuckle. We were under a no-compete agreement. We weren't allowed to sell advertising for a couple of years after the sale of the other website. So we spun bowhunting.com up with just doing e-commerce. We're doing some blogging and stuff. And 2010 rolled around. I went on an elk hunt in Colorado with a couple friends. And what we had been doing is we were filming our hunts. We're still giving them to Todd at White Knuckle to put in his DVDs, but we're also kind of editing them together ourselves, and we're putting them on bowhunting.com. And no sort of real format, no show, just little video clips. Mm-hmm. And I went on an elk hunt. I came home, and I came to the office to work, and Todd's like, we're going to do an online show. And I'm like, oh, okay. Guess we're doing an online show.
Sounds good.
And here we go.
And he's like, you know, we need a name for it. So in the meantime, we've been doing the Deer Classic circuit, right? The same one that you guys are doing now in Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, all that stuff.
Illinois and Bloomington, though.
Yeah, in Bloomington back in those days. And, you know, we were just going as bowhunting.com. We were trying to sell hats and T-shirts and just get the word out. And it's just like people didn't really want to wear a shirt that said bowhunting.com, like unless they were a forum member or whatever. It just wasn't like a big hit. And I was like, we need to come up with like a cool saying to put on shirts that people would want to buy, even if they don't know who the hell we are.
Right.
So we had been working on some Bowhunter Die apparel just to sell at trade shows. And I brought up the idea to Todd. I was like, why don't we just call the show Bowhunter Die? And he was like, well, I don't know. You know, it's a little aggressive. And, you know, and I was like, dude, who gives a shit? You know, let's just do it. And
I love the dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Old jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I was like, let's just do it. It's a cool name. So we did it. And, you know, that first season in 2010, you know, we didn't sell any advertising because we were still under no compete. We kind of assembled a small group of guys that we knew that were out filming, and we started putting a show together with no legitimate plan at all. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. We concocted a half-assed little studio. We hired this young kid straight out of college to come and do some editing for us, and we were like, okay, here we go. Welcome to Bowhunter Die, our new show.
Dude, and that's awesome. Just jump right into it.
Yeah, the first season had like 10 episodes or something like that, and I go back and watch them now, and I cringe. I'm like, holy shit, whoever watched this? You know,
dude, that's awesome, though, man.
That's how it started.
Well, that too, and like that, I don't know, for some reason, as you were like describing that, I mean, is that considered mid school now of hunting? Do you know what I mean? Like that 2008, 9, 10, 11 area? Is that mid school?
It may be. I mean, it's probably not as old school anymore, right?
In BMX, they would call that era of bikes mid school. And
fair enough.
So I guess it sort of is, but for some reason, as you're talking about that, for all I can think in my head, that's my version, as like an old dude would say, my version of like the good old days.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like I mean, I think outdoor TV was really peaking then. I mean, you know,
the Lakoskis were huge. Bunk Lakoskis.
Yeah.
Road trips.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, those guys were just killing it. They were crushing it back then. You know, and they were the people that we all kind of looked up to,
right?
I mean, who didn't want to be those guys? I mean, there's a bunch of old videos and pictures of me running around. I had this Real Tree Road Trips hat I wore everywhere.
My first I got a Real Tree Road Trips hat on. And
yeah, dude, I mean, boom. Who didn't love watching that show? You know, and through our other business, through Rhino Group, you know, we build websites for a lot of people in the hunting industry. So, I mean, we worked with Lee and Tiffany. We built their website for many years. Shockey, Ralph and Vicky, Jay Gregory, Rick and Julie Kruder. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people we haven't worked with at some capacity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're an OG, man.
Do you know that?
Yeah, it's freaking crazy, man.
Do you consider yourself an OG? It,
I don't want to.
You are, though. I mean,
you are.
Old, but shit, man.
Yeah, old, not original, yeah. Old gangster.
Well, I mean,
we built the very first website for Lee and Tiffany's show when it first came out. Do you guys remember what it was
getting
called?
Getting Close.
The Crush? Getting Close.
Yep.
Getting Close with Lee and Tiffany. We built that very
first
I
remember
website.
The reel and everything on that website on the homepage, right?
Yeah.
I remember it, dude. Just like, it was just, that's when, you know, Tiffany was the heartbreaker of hunting. She was the first Instagram hot chick type, you know, like in the day.
Sure.
Dude, I remember, like, that's my jam. That's what got me motivated. She's all
the
that
one.
That era.
She's the one.
Tiffany got you motivated?
Not that era, but it didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt. Hey, it didn't hinder performance.
At that time, that was like what? Oh,
Fuck,
so what? It'd be like 05, maybe?
I was going to say 06. Yeah, I was 16.
05, 06.
Yeah, of course she was the babe then
yeah,
for me.
Oh, 16, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, we're 16.
Total babe.
Come on.
I remember driving to Fulton County, Illinois, and my two-door lifted Jeep Cherokee, just oh thinking about Tiffany, going down to try and kill a buck. Just to,
you got
to
impress her,
thinking
bro.
Thinking about Tiffany.
Kirsch is cruising like, I'm going to impress her today.
Sweet, sweet Tiffany.
That, what probably happened you. Was there was probably a bunch of people who wanted to shoot bigger deer than Lee so they could try to steal Tiffany. And I mean, it wasn't happening, but there was probably no, a lot of motivation.
It didn't work.
But that's cool, man. That kind of that little stuff right there shows how long you've been in the game. And let me ask you this question, and I'm asking you this to see how you'll react to the question. Do you feel that in times now, like with that heavy arrow post and all this shit that's going on with the internet, do you feel that you don't get the respect you deserve in the hunting community sometimes because you're an OG?
No, not really. Dude, I don't really care.
Right, that's fair.
I mean, does any of that really matter?
No,
you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, we're still running a successful business. We've got a pretty solid following of people. We've got, you know, dude, we move 1.5 million people through bowhunting.com every year.
It's amazing.
We do a couple million views on our show. You know, with damn near 500,000 people on Facebook, like, I don't need everybody to like me or respect me. But
and
I
no mean, one's going to, it. Right? Same thing with anything right. you do.
No one's
going to
respect you know? Me, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those guys.
You're always going to piss someone
so
off.
It's like, yeah, and I'm not going to change who I am. Like, I've been a dick my whole life, man. Like, it's just, it's I like am nothing who new. I am. You know, my wife always tells me when we get in a fight, she's like, you're such a dick. I'm like, well, I know. I've been this way since you met me.
Yeah, you married
you
me.
You married me. So, yeah, you know this.
Well, you know what's funny is, I mean, we met at ATA, I think, right? Four years ago?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe
so,
even.
Well, we have a mutual friend, Scott Bakken from HHA, so that kind of like, is that how we met? I don't even actually remember, but.
I think so. I think
I don't,
Justin was in
him.
The booth.
Yeah, it probably in was the at the HHA booth. But I do remember, like, talking to Eric, because it was just Eric and I at ATA then, being like, oh, dude, he was really cool. Like, I was almost like, oh, he's cooler than I thought he would be.
Right. Because you never know when you meet someone.
Well, you don't know, you know, especially when all you're seeing is someone on their show.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it's right. easy right, to assume how they are.
I got a story for you guys, and this might get me in trouble, but
oh,
I really
boy. Here
you
we go.
Shit.
This is the God's honest truth, and I'll preface this by saying, dude, when I grew up, I was a Drury Outdoors fanatic.
Yeah.
Like, I would wait. The day that their DVDs were released, I was going to Cabela's or Bass Pro to pick them up.
For
like,
sure.
Literally, like, they're coming out tomorrow. My buddy Mike and I would go to Bass Pro in Gurnee, Illinois, and pick them all up and go home and watch them. Like, those guys were my absolute favorite. So, when I very, very first started working for Todd, this was in 2004, maybe, I want to say, my very first ATA show I ever went to in my life. Here I am. I'm like 24. I don't know shit about shit. I'm walking in. The first person we met when we were standing in line to get our badges was Bill Winky. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit, it's Bill Winky. Nicest dude ever. And to this day, like, Bill still remains. Like, when I see him, we always have a great conversation. He's been nothing but nice to me. I think that dude's awesome, right?
Yeah.
So we get in the show, and dude, you're walking around. And again, this is like the peak of outdoor television. I'm like, oh my God, there's Will Primos over there. There's, you know, Night and Hail guys. There's dudes from Primetime. There's, you know, Pat Reeve and all these people. I'm like, holy crap, right?
Primetime.
But the Drurys were my jam, dude. I loved those guys, right?
Yeah.
So we're walking down the aisle, and there's Mark Drury. Todd stops to talk to Mark Drury. And he's like basically saying like, hey, dude, we should do something together. We got this website or whatever. And dude, Mark was a total prick.
Really?
And he was like, dude, he was like, F the internet. I'm not going to say the F word, even though I know you guys don't give a shit. But he was like, screw the internet. It's just a bunch of idiots on there that don't belong, saying what they're saying, that don't know what they're talking about, which none of that has changed. That's all still true. 16 years later,
fair.
Still a bunch of assholes saying
you,
this.
You
stuff
know that for
know.
Sure.
Hey, Mark Drury was spot on. Pattern that one.
Dude,
hey,
you're on our
was,
show.
He was.
But he dude, patterned
I was
him.
Like, I was so deflated. I was like, he was just a kind of a dick. And I was like, oh my God, like, my hero. Like, he was just a total asshole.
My hero.
Oh, man.
You know?
See, that's.
But, dude, but,
no,
it,
Daddy,
but in
no.
all fairness, like, times have changed since then. You know, those guys have changed considerably. I've met and talked to Mark plenty of times since then, and he's been nothing but nice. But that was like my first you know, encounter where I was like this scared little kid of like, oh my God, there's Mark Dury, like a legit celebrity. And Todd's like, yeah, we should do something together. And it was just like crushed, just totally crushed us.
In a couple of seconds, you know? You were crushed.
And I was like, God damn it.
That's,
you know, that sucks.
That's a great story. Mark might not think so, but it's funny that. So, Drury was my jam as well, and we've done
who
some.
Who wasn't their jam?
I mean, Drury was
dude,
the shit.
Dude, it's still my jam. It still is.
Dude, Drury, they're still the kings.
Watch all their stuff. They are.
Dude, we had Mark on the podcast a couple of times. We've had Matt on the podcast a couple of times. We've had Terry on. Great people. And then I got a chance to be on their podcast at their studio in Missouri, which was pretty, like, surreal, right? Like, sitting across from my childhood hero. And now, like, I text Mark Drury. Do you know how mind-blowing that is for me to, like...
It's bizarre.
It's crazy.
It's so weird.
We were in Des Moines for Iowa, and then Mark Drury was there, like, what up, man? Like, what's going on?
Like, he came over and said hi to us.
Yeah, it was cool to, like, conversate. So, it's funny, but I'm trying to think. My first ATA ever was 2011. No. It would have been January 2011. That would have been my first time ever. And I was starstruck by everybody. But I think the only person that I was kind of like, if we're just being completely honest, and I'm sure they're good people, the only person I was like, nah, I could have done without that experience was my experience with Cameron Haynes.
Yeah, dude, I've never got the warm and fuzzies from Cam. I've met him a bunch of times. It's not like he's a dick. But he was never very personable. You know, it's like I tried and then you get nowhere. It's like hitting on a chick at the bar that doesn't want to talk to you. You know, and you're like, all right, fine. Like, dude, I get it. I'm not like John Dudley cool enough.
So, right. Whatever. I had the experience where I was 21 at the time. No, was it 2011? Yeah, 2010, 2011. I was 2021, somewhere in there. I don't remember what year it was. But anyway, I just wanted to say hi to him and shake his hand and have a quick conversation and be on my way. Because I know, like, not to try and – I don't expect an hour of their time, that type of thing. And first thing he said, he's like, pitcher? Like, pointed at me like, oh, you just want a pitcher? And I was like, fuck, dude, I just want to say hi.
Yeah, never mind.
Like, but, you know, and then on the other hand – and, you know, he's busy. So I'm not – shitting on him for that. Like, that's just how it is. I get that. But the people that I feel have been the most genuine from the first sliver of a fraction of a second until now is the Bone Collector Boys, man. T-Bone gave me the time of day and chatted my ear off and my dad's ear off our first ATA. Like, you would not believe. And I remember walking away from that situation being like, man, it's so refreshing. And like Waddell and Munt, like, it's so refreshing that some of your childhood heroes are really how you hope they were.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, genuine people.
Just like in the show.
I'll tell you how genuine Nick Munt is. And when my uncle passed, I put a post on Instagram. I was just like, hey, you know, I wish the whole world would have met this guy. And, you know, I was like, you know, he passed away. And Nick put like a very nice post. He's like, hey, sorry for your loss. Like, genuinely, like, reached out. Because the guy genuinely cares. He's just such a nice guy. All those guys, Waddell. So it is really refreshing to see that the guys that you can look up to are awesome. I mean, that wasn't the case when I first met. Because I always looked up to you, Justin. And the first time I met you was in a bathroom. And you didn't want to give me the time of day. Like, you were peeing. I was trying to talk to you.
You were peeing.
You were peeing.
You tried to touch my penis. I'm sorry.
What?
That was a good first impression.
Well, you get one opportunity, you got to pounce. So can you really blame a guy?
Pounce hard.
I don't blame. I
would make it this industry any way, anyhow.
Yeah. Well, you want me to shake that for you?
I do think the reason why Justin... we got along so well, like I'm saying, you and our crew, is because our mutual friend is Scott Bakken, and we know how Scott Bakken operates. So we kind of knew, like, well, if we're friends with Scott Bakken, he's friends with you, we all are going to have, like, we're all going to get along.
Right.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Here's a funny story with Scott. If you are ever lucky enough to find one of our – we used to make our own DVDs for bowhunting.com before Bowhunter Die was a show. We would make a bowhunting.com DVD and we'd include them with every order that we shipped out from our website.
Oh, no
back
shit.
When we were doing e-commerce. And so the way that we met Scott, if I back this whole damn thing up, is Scott's uncle Jim was the owner of Pine Ridge Archery.
No shit.
Pine Ridge is located here, only actually in the town where I grew up in Wakanda is where Pine Ridge is at. So we knew Jim And we met Scott through Jim when Scott, I think, was still maybe in college. I think he was still living in Eau Claire and like working at Shields or something like that. That's when I first met him. So him and his brother David used to film their hunts, and they gave us a couple of their hunts to use in some of our early DVDs.
No
shit.
So
if you go back way, I should see if I can find them. I guarantee they're on our website somewhere.
You got
to
dig that shit up.
Dude, he killed a really nice buck up at Jim's place in northern Wisconsin. It was a real nice heavy 8-pointer that his brother filmed him kill, and they were probably like 19. I mean, that's how long ago it was, or maybe in the early 20s. But, wow. Yeah, dude. Then he ended up moving to Pennsylvania to work for Kinsey's, and now he came back to Wisconsin to work at HHA. Scott and I talk a couple times a week. So he's dealing with the coronavirus as well. He's now shut down in Wisconsin for a month.
That's crazy, man.
So he built himself a home gym, and he's just working out every day.
Oh yeah, just trying on new pairs of sicko pants and stuff.
Dude, how are you?
He's more of a Kuyu guy.
Oh, now he is. He changed. He's better now
because they make his butt look better. I bet
they do.
How pretty was he back then?
Just as pretty as he is now. He had less tattoos back then, so he's a little bit more hardcore now.
He's hardcore pretty now. He was clean pretty then.
Yeah, he was clean pretty. Yeah, he's hardcore pretty now. He's aging very well.
He's supposed to come to the studio. It's just one of those things. Like, he's busy as hell. Dude, every time we have an event planned for the podcast, he's got, like, a wedding or something he's got to go to, or he tells us that. But
it's just what he says.
Right, just what he says. He's supposed to come to the studio. I mean, HHA, absolutely love that company, the people, the products, all that stuff. So it's kind of funny that we can rip on him together on Scott.
Dude, he's great. So him and I, we've been on a couple hunts together now. We were out antelope hunting in Wyoming two summers ago, and he killed a goat on the first night. And it was like the third or fourth night I hadn't killed yet. I was in a blind by myself, you know, just hunting. And him and one of our guys, Dustin, like posted up on this ridge or whatever. They were watching me through the spotting scope. And there was this antelope, and he was feeding it in front of my blind. But he was like, I don't know, 70 yards out there. And I wasn't going to shoot that far. And Scott's texting me, and he's like, you shoot that goddamn antelope, or I'm pulling your sponsorship. I was like, look, asshole, no, I'm not shooting it.
The funny thing is, I could totally hear him saying
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, I had a – dude, at Deer Fest Wisconsin, Scott was, like, screaming at me, you motherfucker, you made me do this for working class. Like, it was basically talking about our sponsorship package. And I'm like, I don't know, you did it.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, that sounds like him. Yep, definitely accurate.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a hunt with him one day. I think that'd be a riot.
Yeah, we went animal hunting. We went on a whitetail hunt last year. And provided the world doesn't come to an end between now and August, we're planning on going on another antelope hunt this summer. So it should be a good time. We're going to drive together out to Wyoming this time, so that should be fun.
Dude, isn't antelope hunting the best?
Dude, it's great. It's like turkey hunting, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't like antelope.
I think you would like antelope. Dude, it's like mule deer.
It's warm outside.
Yeah.
It's freaking early in the year. You don't really have to worry about scent control.
You don't have to worry, but you don't have to get up crazy early.
No, because, dude, they don't – I never realized, like, they can't see in the dark. So they don't move at night like a whitetail does.
Yeah.
They basically just bed down at night because they can't see.
Damn, that's
and
wild.
So they move all day long. It's not like deer hunting where it's, like, right at dark and, you know, right at dusk and right at dark. It's like they literally move from the time it gets light until the time it's dark. So it's not like you got to be out there an hour before –
I didn't know that about the dark that they couldn't see. I didn't know
that's insane because you think about how good their eyesight is. They can see for like miles, but I guess you sacrifice distance for being able to see at night.
Right. That's just fucked up. It's just like a turkey, right? I mean, turkeys can't see in the dark either. It's the same thing.
Right. What would be your number one tip? Let's give a little bit. I mean, I've had a ton of fun like kind of reminiscing about like the mid-school days or what's considered our old school.
Yeah.
But what would be one tip? Because I went on my first antelope hunt last year, killed my first antelope. And there's things that I've talked about that really where you have to be on point with antelope hunting. But if someone was going to go out there in September, whatever state they're going, what would be your number one tip for antelope hunting?
For me, I just like to go with a good outfitter.
Must be nice to have a great splinter in the show.
Yeah.
Great tip.
Well, Yeah, that's a great tip. I mean, I'm not an expert antelope hunter, but it's great when one of my best friends owns an outfitting business in Wyoming.
That is great.
That's true. That's good.
Hey,
man, that'll do
the... You son of a bitch.
Another tip. Don't be mean to people on the internet.
With your heavy arrows and all.
For anybody going western hunting, you know, just you got to be able to extend your range a little bit. Those 20 and 30 yard shots out west just aren't as common as they are here in the Midwest when you're hunting whitetails. So practice a lot at, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards. Get really proficient because, dude, when there's nothing to hide behind, those bastards are hard to get close to.
Yeah.
So
when I went antelope hunting, we went to a gas station, some kid had a monster, and I was like, how far did you shoot him? And he's like, oh, 80 yards. I'm like, holy shit.
I know, right?
It was my first time. I was like, 50-yard pin. I was like, what the fuck?
It's like, damn, bro,
like some 16-year-old's like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, so before I go, like most of my antelope hunting has been out of a blind, either out of a water hole or a hayfield. Yeah. So most of my stuff should be within 30. But if you're going to do any sort of spot and stalk, which is mostly what your DIY guys are doing, like you better be ready to shoot 50, 60, 70 yards.
Have you used the decoys?
You know, we tried it once. It didn't work out for us. But okay. I think we're going to – I've always gone earlier in the antelope season, like right when it first opens.
Okay.
So they're not rutting quite as hard then. You know, so once you get later into August and early September and into mid-September, like that's when I think the decoying becomes a lot more effective.
Yeah, because they rut early, right?
They do, yeah, dude. It's crazy. I mean, you'll start seeing them – when I went mule deer hunting out there, it was like the first week of September, and the antelope were starting to rut pretty good. So I think by like mid-September, they're pretty much like in full swing.
That's insane.
I still need to kill one. I missed one when I went.
Dude, I missed three the last time I went.
Dude, it's
awful.
It's a game changer.
It was awful.
We went on a hunt last year. I know you said mid-September. It was about mid-September. I feel like we were a week early from like the hard rut. And I had a failed stalk. On my second stalk, I got lucky and shot one. But it like wasn't a monster by any means. We were public land spot and stalk. And then my dad missed three, I think, on that trip. And it's really not like they were bad shots. It's like the reaction time. And I've talked about that several times. But they're just different, man. They're crazy.
They are.
Yeah, they're very jumpy.
I would like to see them in peak rut, though. I've never done that.
I heard that they get crazy.
Cool. Dude, they do. They're nuts. You could damn near, like, when they're fighting each other, you could almost walk up on them. It's crazy to see them because they rub, like, on, like, little sage brushes, right, that are, like, you know, knee high, and they're out there just tearing the shit out of them. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched one do that on some sage, and he was, like, hopping around all weird. It was super funny to watch him do it.
Yeah. No, they're
hopping around.
Going out west is just badass because there's so many animals, and you could see so far. You know, that's what I love about going to Wyoming. It's like there's almost no point during the day where I can't look around and see some sort of big game animal somewhere. Might be 1,000 yards away, but at any point in time, I can look and see, like, oh, there's an antelope, there's a mule deer, there's a whitetail. There's just animals everywhere.
Right. What, coming into whitetail season, like, do you have anything specific planned? Well, I guess in this fall in general, besides, like, an antelope hunt, like, for whitetails, do you have any special game plans, a buck you're trying to get on? I mean, anything like that that you're trying to target?
I am going to try a lot harder this year. That's my number one plan for this year. You know, the last couple of years, I've kind of adopted a bit of a lazy outlook on my whitetail hunting, you know, to a certain degree. I mean, I'm still doing a lot of work, but I've given up on, like, trying to locate a certain deer, you know, figure out his pattern or maybe where he may be bedding or anything like that. And I've kind of just been like, you know what, I've got my stands. I know they're in good spots. They're in good rut funnels. And if I sit them at the right time, I got an opportunity to kill an animal.
Yeah.
So that's more of like a passive type form of hunting, whereas this year I'm going to be a lot more active. You know, I do plan on using trail cameras a lot differently this year to try to locate some deer, to try to get on and hunt early. You know, a lot of times I think those early season hunts were kind of like, nothing's happening. Nothing's moving. I'll just go, you know, sit over here and maybe try to shoot a doe. You know, and you know, I'm not as maybe aggressive as I could or should be. So I think for this year, that's kind of my number one goal is to, you know, just move some stands around. I've got some that have been in the same spots for probably a few years too long. So I've been using this social distancing time on my weekends to go work on tree stands because I can't really do anything else.
For sure.
So
for sure.
I've been doing a lot of that prep work now. So that's really, like, I'd like to go kill another 150-inch deer. That's honestly my goal for this year, is try to find a 150 on some one of the farms I hunt and go kill the damn thing. So that's my goal.
That's a real good goal. I like that. Do you think that your kind of like passive approach in the last couple of years of whitetail hunt, is that like an older age thing, or is that a comfort in what you know, or what do you think that is?
I think part of it is just time. You know, I mean, you guys will understand at some point when you got a bunch of little kids running around, and my kids are starting to get to the age where they're doing sports, if they ever have sports again. So it's like,
you know, you never know.
Ever baseball again.
You had a baseball star in the making, and now it's gone. Damn.
Yeah. So some of it's time. Some of it's just, you know, familiarity with the farms that I hunt. Yeah. And just kind of being like, well, I kind of know where the deer are at, and I've been there long enough. So, you know, a lot of hunting for us is the thrill of the chase, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's learning things and figuring them out. And I think you see it with some of these guys that like go in and have a lot more money than I do, but they go buy a farm, they dial it up to the nines, they learn all about it, they kill a bunch of big deer on it, and then they're like, eh, I'm done with this place. I'm going to sell it and go buy a new farm. It's like guys that restore old cars, you know, like the restoration part is like,
That's the fun for them.
Yeah, spot on, Eric.
Been there. Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to move up in the ranks.
That's the chase. You know.
Yeah, that's that chase.
You know what's funny about that a little bit? So, and I'm saying this kind of in, not to be a cocky asshole. I don't want to come off that way, but to kind of get to what you're saying is, the last 2 years I've tagged out, and I love this property that I'm hunting, and I feel like I've figured it out now. I feel confident. I felt confident going into this year, tagged out, and I felt confident that I'm going into next fall. Well, it turns out I think I'm losing that property. But it's kind of a weird thing. Like, I'm bummed I'm losing it because I loved hunting it.
Right.
And I know that, you know, I can get on bucks there. It's been a good property for me. But I'm also – that, to me, is not a thing that I'm used to. So I'm used to hunting properties that are more difficult to hunt, ones I have to grind out and put a lot of work into, and it's good and bad. Like, I'm bummed that it's probably a property that's going away. It's one of the better properties I've ever hunted, but I mean, it took work. The first year I hunted it, I struggled my ass off.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and you can go back in the podcast library and listen to those episodes. It's on record, so I'm not making it up. I fucking cried in that one episode, or that one whole season, cried and went through my struggles and all the shit.
Oh yeah,
learned it. Feel like I got it figured out well, but it's kind of the same thing, right? But just on a poor man's level of like, well, I had free permission. I figured this place out. I got it going. I'm rocking now. Well, fuck you. You don't get to hunt there anymore. Go back to your scum property that you grew up on. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Back to what I know.
Back to square one.
So it's like, I'm bummed about it, but it's also like, all right, back to the nitty gritty.
Exactly. Think about that. It'll humble you. I mean, it's just like, you know,
it's good for you.
When there's a chick that you've desired for a long time, and then you find out she's got an OnlyFans, and then you get to see her, and you're like, man. And then you get to see, like, her nude. Once you see the nipples, dude, it's just like, that feeling is gone. Then you move on to the next one. You know, it keeps you humble because, like, when you can finally acquire something.
Don't say that. Once you see the nipples.
He's not wrong.
It's over, dude. Like, you don't have the same feel. Like, if you still have the same feelings, then pursue it. Like, say you see, like, a giant. That's like finding the giant sheds on a property. You're like, I don't know if I'll lease this again this year. Well, here's the OnlyFans. It's a giant, you know, 100-inch side shed. You're like, ah, okay, I'll stick around. But, dude, I don't think that's a bad thing for you to keep that.
For the record, only podcast in the game that's ever made that analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Guarantee it.
Sorry, fans, Justin. Only lease. Let's go.
Just wait till you get married, my friend.
Yeah.
The nipples come so much sweeter, bro.
the buckle's worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, the 120-inch bucks, big areolas, same difference.
Hey, dude, when you find Hey, when you find the 180-inch bucks, those are pierced.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
pierced
with no OnlyFans account. Or whatever the fuck it's called, I don't know.
Follow my premium snap, too.
So, sorry about all this.
How much does that cost?
It's usually like $9.99. You can get like lifetime memberships.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, there are some girls like, all right, hey,
how many of those do you have?
How much rent money am I losing from you on these OnlyFans?
Because Steve, be honest right now, how many Snapchat or OnlyFans accounts do you subscribe to?
Zero, dude.
Bullshit.
No, there's that's zero. All right,
here's the thing.
Bullshit.
I haven't paid rent in 2 weeks.
I owe you rent tonight.
Look, he acts like he forgot.
No, man. I
like,
got you.
Rent comes every week. You get a paycheck.
My bad. I got you.
COVID.
Here's the thing. Now, there is a level of what you think you're worth. And this is probably how you got to look at properties that you can lease. Like, so you got like 13 acres and you're trying to get $4,500 a year, right? For that. But it's just like, you know, if you see a chicken, it's just like, you want $49.99 a year for this, or you can get like 2,500 acres for $9.99 for life. Which deal are you going? You know, this is kind of what that's how
I. Yeah, but I mean, the right 13 acres could be better than your 2,500.
Mm,
or if it's just 2,500 acres of open field.
Yeah, but
it's like those guys when you go on Basecamp leasing, you see a property that's $5,000. There's one picture of a giant buck, and you go on it, and there's 2 acres of huntable ground. And the rest is tillable.
And they're like, it's great for up to 3 guys.
Yeah, right. But by the way, here's where our stands already are, so stay away from there.
Yeah, you should be able to walk the property.
You
got to
call
least.
Us before you come
but
out.
But give us $5,000.
Yeah.
For
can
sure.
Can I walk the property?
Well, subscribe.
Justin, what's next for Bow Hunt or Die? What, I mean, you got anything? Like, I mean, times are changing, right, from 10 years ago. So, I mean, you don't give away your secrets, but what big plans do you have? Something that you can give away? What can viewers, like, look forward to?
I don't think there's any major changes. You know, we switched things up definitely last year and just doing shorter episodes more frequently. You know, I think when this whole thing started and we were like, let's do an online show, the only thing we knew was television,
right?
So we looked at TV and we said, okay, well, they run 13 episodes a year, new episodes, and then they rerun them 13 times. So if we make, you know, somewhere between 13 and 26 episodes in a quote-unquote season, that'll be great. So we'll do one a week during the hunting season, and then during the off season, we'll just do like whenever we feel like it, you know, and that worked for a while. But, you know, in today's world, what happens is like, if you need to catch somebody's attention and you need to hold it, like just like with your podcast, right? You guys can't take a break. You can't be like, fuck it, we're taking a month off. See you guys later. You're going to lose followers.
Yep.
So the biggest thing for us last year was just more frequent episodes. You know, at a bare minimum, it was 2 a week, sometimes 3 a week. So instead of holding on to footage and then putting 2 or 3 hunts in a long episode, we were just doing 2 or 3 shorter episodes. A lot easier for people to watch on the go. And that worked out really well for us. We saw a lot of positive feedback on that. So we're going to keep doing that. Right now, because it's kind of, you know, off season, turkey hasn't quite started yet. Plus most of us are quarantined. What we're doing right now is we're revisiting and we're going to be like re-airing our top 10 hunts of the first 10 years of Bow Hunt or Die.
Very cool.
So we're getting ready. The first installment of that is going to come out tomorrow, I think, on the 27th.
So in podcast land, it already released.
Yeah, it already released. It's already on YouTube and on our website and Roku and everywhere else.
And where can people find that? Like, how do they access all that stuff if they don't know already?
Yeah, well, I mean, the best place, the hub of everything is bowhunting.com, right? I mean, you go there, you can get links to YouTube, you can find out about our Roku channel, you can download it on Amazon, all that jazz. But bowhunting.com is absolutely the hub of everything we do. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing right now. We're probably going to revisit some extra bloopers and some outtakes and just some other hunts that we're going to revisit and maybe re-edit some old stuff, go back to, like, maybe my first kill on film ever, Todd's first one, and just kind of recut it with some updated commentary and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So we're finding stuff to, you know, keep everybody busy, you know, kind of until, you know, some of the turkey stuff starts picking up here. Hopefully, if we don't get rained out this weekend, I'm going to get my son out. He's 7. He wants to go try to shoot a turkey in the face with a crossbow this weekend. So if we don't
turkey
get rained
season already
out,
started for you for youth season?
Youth season starts this weekend in
Holy
Illinois.
Smokes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Freaking nuts, right? Yeah.
So
we spent like 20 minutes tonight going through shot placement on turkeys. I was pulling up pictures of turkeys on the computer and having him point to where he's going to shoot them depending on the angle that they're facing. So I think we got it down pat. We just need the weather to cooperate.
That's
awesome. We
need
to find a bird to kill.
How old is he?
He is 7.
That's 7. Gonna be awesome.
Wow. I can hear his excitement in the background.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
screaming, running around.
That's awesome, man. So that's got to be like a proud dad moment.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, whether he shoots something or not, I mean, just the fact that he can show you where he's going to shoot a bird and all that.
And he's out there with you.
Right.
I always feel like turkey's a good start, you know?
It's cool, man. He's come with me a couple times. You know, I started taking him when he was about 5, I think, was his first hunt with me. This year was his first trip up into a tree stand this fall. I took him out with me. And
he's filming
got him
you
up,
now.
Got him up. Yeah, he's not filming yet.
He's a cameraman.
I let him carry a GoPro and do a little bit of stuff so he feels like he's, you know, contributing. So,
That's cool.
I mean, it's badass. I was able to shoot a doe when he was with me this year, which was my goal of bringing him out.
Wow.
I wanted to shoot a deer while he was there and let him do the recovery and everything. So,
What was his reaction to that? I mean, how do you...
Dude, you know what the bad thing about it is now? They've watched so much of it on YouTube that it's like, I feel like the reaction isn't as badass as it was when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's watched so many animals get shot already, you know, before actually seeing one in real life.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he still had a blast and enjoyed doing the blood trail and everything. So, I mean, that was cool. But I just, you know, today's kids are kind of desensitized a little bit just because they're exposed to so much.
You just shoot
much.
The doe and he's like, it's a bad shot.
Yeah, he's like, Dad, why'd you shoot that one? You know, wasn't big enough.
Yeah, you couldn't have shot a buck?
What if he turned to you and was like, Dad, you didn't have a heavy enough arrow?
Dude, he is. He's like, you know who he loves watching? He loves watching the Bomars. They're his thing. He calls them the Bomers. So, he's like, Bomer bow hunting, Dad. They put a new video up, and Josh shot some antelope or something in Africa at like 120 yards. Why don't you ever shoot anything that far?
He's giving you shit already.
He's already shit talking.
he's definitely your son, ain't he?
So,
yeah, definitely.
Do you know the Bomars?
Yeah, I've met Josh a handful of times. I met him this year, talked with him a bunch at ATA. Super nice guy. It's funny because... I had him take a picture with me holding the rack of that buck that he killed wires, the 200-incher, because my son loves watching that episode on YouTube. Uh-huh. And he always asked me, he's like, Dad, have you ever killed a buck as big as wires? And I was like, no, dude. He's like, well, when are you going to kill one that big? I'm like, I don't know, man. As soon as I can
get
find
on my back.
One that
yeah.
big. Get off my back, bro. I took a picture with me and Josh and the buck, and I sent it to my wife to show my son while we were at ATA.
That's pretty cool, man. I like that he's like into outdoor media in general. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
You haven't really like skewed him away from the Bomars just because that's not your deal. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool of you.
Yeah. Well, he just finds it on YouTube, you know? And that's, of course, in between watching like Dude Perfect and like all this other crap that he watches these days.
And he's 7.
Yeah.
He's seven.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're 7.
I don't know. Kicking a can across our yard. I don't know.
He's like, Dude Perfect has like 50 million subscribers on YouTube. How many do you guys have? And I'm like, I don't know, like 75,000. He's like, oh, that's not very many.
He's like,
little does he know, that's a ton.
My dad's a loser.
I got a funny story about the Bomars. I went over to a buddy of mine's house I work with, and he pulled out this because he's like kind of into working out and shit, and he had this thing. It's like Bomar Nutrition. I was like, huh? I was like, that's kind of weird because I know the Bomars are like working out. He's like, yeah, these people are from Iowa, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's the actual Bomars, like they have their own like supplement line. Yeah.
Well, dude, that's where they make all their money from.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I've heard
they're bigger in the fitness industry than they are the hunting industry.
Oh, I bet they are, for sure.
Dude, he's like, what, a multi-time Arnold champion, like
bodybuilding
dude?
Literally
like,
have
for
no
real.
Idea.
Like, they're huge. They're huge in that community.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if, like, I...
Good for them.
Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to follow every damn person out there because there's just too many of them. But
right.
I do kind of keep up with what they're doing. And, you know, they just recently announced that they went 100% sponsor-free on all their hunting stuff.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So feel free to spear as many bears as you want, buddy.
Hell yeah, dude. Nobody's going to drop your ass now.
Yeah, that was a messed up deal.
That's a cool move for them, man. So
that's an awesome, dude. It's freaking badass. Don't we all wish we could have independent sources of income that would free us from the shackles of sponsorship, right?
Right.
But, I mean, it is what it is, you know?
And you know, what's funny about this, I don't really watch a lot of hunting video, like video media, to be honest, but I did watch... I got to be honest. I skipped to just the kill shot on Josh Bomar's elk hunt. I don't know where he was at because I didn't watch the whole show. Just watched the kill shot. And I liked it. You know, I didn't think – I wasn't like – you know, normally I'm like, fuck this guy. But I wasn't that way, you know. I'm joking when I say that. But I appreciated his reaction when he recovered the animal, and I was entertained by it. Like, I can see why they've had their success.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've watched a lot of Hunt in Public. I've watched a lot of Born and Raised. I've watched a lot of those guys. Like, those guys are all good shit. You know, I respect what they do.
And I think, I mean, you just got to recognize everybody's got their own personality, you know, and love them or hate them. You know, you're never going to make everybody happy. You can't appeal to everybody. It's freaking impossible. You know, and the Bomars, dude, they got a huge YouTube following. I mean, they're crushing it right now. You know, right. I've always said we need a super hot chick on our team, and we would get more followers. It's the one thing we're missing.
Yeah,
we have to hunt more public land and get hot chicks.
Yeah. Bro, do you want me to be your talent scout for that?
Dude, here's the problem. In today's world, none of them want to join up with you because they all think they can be insta-famous on their own.
They're pissed off.
I don't need to join up with you guys. I'll just have my Instagram page.
I got see-through bra on. They can see whatever they want.
Shake my ass, and people will be throwing free product at me all day long.
Mr. Czar, just look for a second, though. Why would they join you when they can join Matt Busbus?
Oh,
that's true. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
He does have more money than we do. He's got a much nicer house than I do.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, your house has a wife in it, so I don't know if they want to
have a... That's true.
You don't have a ranch,
hey,
so I mean...
Yeah,
you
should work on that. This is not just a house. This is a home.
Well, you need a compound.
Can't turn a hoe into a housewife. That's what I heard.
Yeah, you can't. Well, unless you have a compound and you take pictures with tiger cubs.
Unless you're for love, not for likes.
Dude, what's up? Have you guys legitimately ever watched a single episode of that show, for love or likes?
No. I've watched a sliver of it, and I can't do it, man.
I couldn't. I just sent me into like a fiery rage.
I watched some of the show.
I can't even do this.
Before that, like when the buzz, like just the buzz was, and it was
I used to like that show because they were funny.
It was good. Yeah, they were funny.
It's comical.
Actually, us ripping that show on our podcast has made us a lot of industry friendships. because
the problem is nobody wants to speak honestly about anything because everybody's afraid.
They're scared.
The world is afraid to say anything. In secret, when we're not recording a podcast, we'll all say things. But then as soon as the cameras are on or the mics are rolling, everyone's like, nah, dude, I can't say that. And it's like, give me a damn break. Like, we're all thinking it. It's
and then
terrible.
We're all,
it's the worst show ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why we've had some success with the podcast is that, like, we do that. You know, like, I met a lot of good people from ripping that show. Like, we've had some weird experiences with that. We've had some, like, we ripped Brackett hard because we've had negative experiences with him in person, and we've talked about it openly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we're not bullshit. I mean, we've made a lot of fun of people. Like, we take people like that and make examples out of them in this industry. But, like, I kind of appreciate that conversation. Like, your first experience with Mark Jury, my first experience with Cameron Haynes, like, it's all like those real experiences that not a lot of people say on record in our industry.
Right.
And other industries, hit and miss. It depends on where you're going. That's why I like the comedy industry. Like, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Steve's in the comedy game.
Dude, the comedy podcasts are banging.
Dude, they just say what they want. Right, and that's, like, I think if you categorize working class bow hunter podcasts, I'd say, we're hunting for sure. But I would say a good 30% of us is a little bit of comedy.
Comedy, for sure.
Because why not? Fuck.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I've always wanted to do that with Bowhunter and I a little bit more. But, you know, Todd and I have very different personalities. he's a lot more conservative and closer to the vest, you know, with things that we say and do, which is fine. I get it. I mean, we are running a business, so there's certain lines that we, you know, unfortunately can't cross, you know. I cross them sometimes a little bit in my personal life, as you see on my personal social media accounts and some of the stuff that I do through Busted Rack. So, I mean, that was like my creative outlet to maybe like try to go do things that I couldn't do through Bow Hunter Die. So, yeah.
Let's talk Busted Rack. Like, let's get into that a little bit.
I wore my Busted Rack shirt. I got my tag suit.
I got my tag suit.
Yeah, tell us about Busted Rack, man. Give us the rundown.
Well, my buddy Mike, who I talked about earlier, was my jury watching bro with me. You know, we grew up together. We have very similar personalities. We're both kind of dicks, and we both think we're funnier than we are. And, you know,
understandable.
We always wanted to, we always were like going, man, it would be really hilarious if somebody made a t-shirt that said this on it. And, you know, a couple years ago, we just decided, screw it. Let's do something. It started more as like, I want to make these t-shirts for myself to wear around. And as long as I'm going to invest the effort into designing them and making them for myself, we may as well just spin up a little website and put it out there. And if people want to buy it, great. If they don't, I don't really care.
Right.
Was kind of, you know, and that's kind of like the whole thing kind of behind Busted Rack. So yeah, we started that a couple years ago. It's doing fairly well. You know, it does better with the more effort we put into it, of like anything in life. But, you know, we're both busy. He's a business owner. I'm trying to run 3 businesses plus raise a family. So we don't give it as much attention and love as I would like. But it does pretty well for us. And it provides some creative relief when we want to post funny memes that I can't otherwise post through my other channels.
Give us some examples of Busted Rack t-shirts, because
I've already got them, bro.
You sent us Steve has them pulled up on the iPad in the studio. But
my two favorites are right there.
Probably 2 years ago, right? Is that fair? Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, about 2 years. Yeah,
you sent us a pile of merch. I have one that's like a presidential shirt that says Boone and Crockett, and that's one of my favorite shirts.
Yeah,
I got Make Hunting Great Again with the.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's the Boone and Crockett.
I have a new design for the Make Hunting Great Again shirt that
Hopefully
we're gonna
red.
make re-release here before too long. I think it says keep or Make America Hunt Again is what the new one says.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's got more of, it's like a presidential seal kind of design with like our logo in the middle.
I like the Fred Bear shirt that you have.
Yeah, not all of our stuff is you know, semi-offensive.
That's a really awesome shirt.
It's a classic green with Fred Bear's like face, like in that black shadow.
Maybe you're not implying that shirt off another shirt. I'm drawing a blank. Steve, you'll know. What's that shirt with that guy's face on it?
I love Roadshow.
In that green shirt. I know people call him a freedom fighter, but I know he was like, it's arguable that he's a communist.
Oh, Che Guevara?
Che Guevara's
here. Yeah.
I guess I never thought of that. I mean, maybe. You know what? This is honestly modeled after. So my buddy Mike, when we were younger and we were cool and would go to the bars and try to pick up chicks all the time, mostly unsuccessfully, he had a really sweet Jim McMahon t-shirt that just had Jim McMahon's face on it, like in that black kind of outline.
Uh-huh.
And like we both always loved that shirt, and we wanted to recreate like that style of shirt with somebody else's face on it. So we picked Fred Bear, and
dude,
that was the inspiration behind it.
Private Land Leaser.
That's one of my favorites. Shout out to the Backcountry Hunter guys, because I've always said, like, because they always got the public landowner shirts, and I've always wanted to just get like a private land hunter shirt, but like I forgot you guys had this one.
Private Land Leaser is great.
Dude, I got so many people mad at me when I made, and I just made one for my, just for myself, and I posted a picture of it, and it said something like, feeling cute, might go out and trim some shooting lanes later. I don't know. You know, or something like that.
Nice.
Or, and like, I can't wait to ride my ATV to my pre-hung ladder stand over my food
plot.
Oh,
that's fucking great.
Like, and
just
dude,
buck out
dude,
an ATV.
All these people were like, dude, fuck you, man. What do you got against public land? I was like, God, I don't have anything. Like, I hunt public land a pretty good amount. I have nothing against it. I just hate the people that wear it around like it's a badge of honor. All
right,
of a
right.
The Keep Grinding shirt's probably the best shirt I've ever seen.
There's some good ones.
That's probably the one why Cam Haynes doesn't like me, was the Keep Grinding shirt. Like, I mean, maybe that's why he won't talk to me.
It's got a buck head going into a meat grinder.
and it's in that look.
I like the food chain with the primitive dot guy with a bow and all the animals around him.
That was inspired by an old Simpsons graphic.
Oh, really?
That said,
let me see these.
The food chain.
I love Roadshed. I've killed more deer than CWD. That's really funny.
that's by far our number one seller.
Is it really?
Like, yeah, probably 8-1 we sell CWD shirts.
Private Land Leaser is my favorite, I think.
Steve can't buy that shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Keep Grinding. That's fucking good.
That shit is amazing.
That is good.
I love when, like, kind of, like, retro tease. So, like, not to bring this to pro wrestling, but there's some funny shit that
Well, we're doing
like
it,
Terry Funk had a shirt, and it was in the, like, this logo, and it's like, It said Dusty Sucks Eggs, and it was about Dusty Rhodes, and it was so classic, and it keeps coming back in that classic style font, and it's just like, dude, sometimes simple but funny is very effective. Like, it's just, it's an amazing thing. Like, you've got the world's okayest hunter. Like, who wouldn't want to just buy that shirt and wear it around?
You know what? We get a lot of people that buy it as, like, Father's Day gifts for their dads.
Yeah.
Or, like, for their hunting buddies.
Because it's a fucking joke. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah, that's most people that buy that one. Same with the Tag Soup shirt I'm redesigning. The print was just a little too thick on the front of that
shirt.
It is
very like thick.
Yeah, it feels like you're wearing a freaking plastic sheet.
Yeah, so like my chest is sweaty behind me. All
you could take a piss in that shirt and be okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one's getting in the process of getting redesigned. Because the same thing with Tag Suit. We get a lot of people buying that one as like a gag for their buddies.
Yeah, that's a great idea, sure. Man. Because it is a great looking shirt. Steve's literally has it on. And
mm-hmm. He does.
I like it, man. I think the idea is great. The humor's kind of right up our alley.
I need more like hunting celebrities to get busted like doing illegal things so I can make shirts about them because like that's when we sell like that wildlife violations shirt like when Busfist got busted for poaching because that's like a parody of the Wild Game Innovations logo and dude we sold 50 of them in like 2 hours.
Oh man!
Like when that thing came out.
I have an idea for you. We'll talk about after this podcast.
I had to like freaking hire a damn, intellectual property attorney to review all of our artwork to make sure we're not going to get sued. And
I think I know where Kurt's going with this one.
I got a really good idea for you after this podcast.
Are we bringing on the Ritz here or what?
No. We're not doing that.
I'm looking through the store. I'm looking through the store right now. I got one problem.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah, Doug's got an issue with the deer-killing hat picture.
There's a deer-killing hat picture with you with a mustache.
Yeah, bro, dude. you're kind of fucking jocking Doug style.
Yeah, what's
actually
that about?
You got hey, man, you need more people to join in the fight to respect the mustache.
Yeah,
true. For the record, jerk-offs, I've been growing mustaches hunting season since, like, the 2007 or 8.
I love that we just got...
Yeah, that you just called us jerk-offs and we laugh about
shut
it.
Shut up, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you take your 450 grain arrow and shove it up your bum?
The only issue I have is, you don't got the upper lip for it that much, though.
shit, it's about to be a mustache off.
You got a soft upper lip, bro.
Dude, I do. We've always called it like...
It looks good, though. I like it.
Some people have that really wide upper lip, like Tom Selleck.
Yeah, Doug.
Yeah.
Where he's got that really wide mustache. We always called it the lip taint, is what it's known as.
And, between your lip and your nose.
Yeah.
The lip taint on that guy.
Mine's not really wide enough.
Hey, I got to be honest.
It looks good, though. I like
Justin,
it.
Justin, I don't want to cut you off. I just got to be honest with you. Doug's got a 600-grain mustache, and you got a 400-grain mustache.
Yeah, you see that?
That's all right. It still slays him just as bad.
I love it. Oh, listen here, jerk off. No, I think you got you have, like, my type of mustache, so I'll appreciate it. I'll give you credit for that. That's a good mustache.
When it was really in full effect this fall, Todd and I were filming a show, and like we're in the studio and like we're talking and we kind of like look at each other and he's like, dude, I can't even look at you right now.
That's amazing.
With, like, with that thing on your face.
That's how every time I grow a mustache, that's what people say. Like, I can't even look at you.
See, somehow the mustache works for me, so I'll just leave it be. Yeah. I
mean, that picture honestly looks like that's like the last picture they took before they made your Netflix documentary about the terrible shit you did.
The deer killing hat was not the last thing you killed.
My honest opinion of this photo of you and this mustache, is this on BustedRack.com.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I feel like they're being a little hard on you. I think that's a great photo. I think you got a killer mustache, man. Honestly,
I mean, I honestly think Doug would look better in that hat. But you should send Doug a hat so we can take a picture.
I had a mustache for 4 days and had to renew my license like unannounced at random. it's crazy how it happened, and I look like I got out of a biker gang and murdered and ate six people.
Oh my god, do you have it?
I just got out of prison, like
yeah. Oh yeah, it's terrible.
Oh my god, like, it's terrible.
I'm not gonna get in anywhere. I have to go get my photo retaken for sure.
No way.
Yeah, I swear to God, I'm gonna have to.
I've got my.
You're going to borrow the mullet without a mullet in your license. Yeah.
Dude, I've got a mullet in my license right now.
Yeah, like, we don't have a mullet on your upper lip.
Why not?
But you could.
Justin, I'm sorry about us. Thank you for giving
us
a chance.
You don't have to apologize.
You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, what do you call us?
Jerk-offs.
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 Yep.
promise me once all this stupid quarantine bullshit fades over that you'll come to the studio and actually do podcast that the people
deserve. Do it right.
I agree. Clinton wants to come with me when we do it.
Bring him with, man.
And have a mustache.
Sure. Yeah, you better have a mustache. You're having a mustache off right now.
Well, right, you don't have to have a mustache
well,
off.
Well, I've decided that I'm not shaving until I'm, like, allowed out of my house.
Oh, that's fair. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I could have a pretty mean beard here before too long.
That's you just need to start doing the thing, like, day 28.
Yeah.
You have like
just
a full
don't shower.
Yeah, don't shower, yeah. Shave, just looking like shit.
Hey,
we have to have like video conference meetings for work, so I have to look halfway presentable for a little while. Unless I just get like a cardboard cut out of myself to put in the chair.
There
and
you go.
I'll just stand off to the side so nobody sees me.
That's
there
funny.
Just move the mouse to make it sure you
cut the mouth of out of it and just put your lips in there.
With a mustache.
Yeah. Promise me one thing. After this podcast airs, that you will do one more post to fire the internet up.
I'll think of something good. I'm quarantined in the house, dude. I'll do something fun.
Okay. Well,
I'll pick on some, you know, special minority group. No, in the
there's a lot out there.
Piss
wow. Minority
oh my
group.
God. Well, jeez.
The special interest groups, not special. Minorities. Just minorities within our community.
China.
I got an idea that might work, but we'll talk after air.
Okay, we'll talk.
All right.
Good Lord.
After
all right, so
guys, go to BustedRack.com, and you can get free shipping on all orders over $45. So Justin's pretty proud of his product. So
can we set up a promo code for your guys if they
want
to buy stuff?
Yes, set it up right now because we got a week for this
air. WCB sucks.
No, WCB. WCB, it's easy.
WCB will do... 25% off whatever you guys want to buy.
Oh, WCB.
I'm Busted Rack.
My guy.
I'm BustedRack.com. Okay.
WCB at BustedRack.com. Save 25%?
25% off whatever you guys want. Yes, sir.
Shit, wow, can I use that? I might.
You really are quarantined, aren't you?
Damn.
You're going crazy.
All right. I like that. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show. I really wish you were in studio. We got to make that happen now. This is kind of just the precursor to that. So.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate your time. What I want to do is let you get some closing thoughts, a plug, whatever you got to do right now to make yourself happy before we end this episode.
We just did my plug. I only have two plugs. Go to bowhunting.com. Check out what we got there. Go to bustedrack.com. Use the promo code WCB. Get 25% off whatever you guys want to order. I'll leave that promo code up forever. You guys just keep using it. It will never expire, and we'll just leave it there.
Rad.
Thank you. All right, guys, buy him out of all of his shit so he regrets that.
It'll give me something to do to make more hats and shirts while I'm quarantined in my house.
I'm buying the public land leaser shirt for sure.
Oh, it's great.
Sweet.
Private land leaser. Eric, go ahead. You got anything?
No, thank you, Justin, for coming on. We definitely got to get you in the studio. We'll have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Appreciate it.
Always a good time talking to you, and we'll see you when you get here.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, hey, Justin, real quick, I hope you enjoyed that video that me and Doug filmed for you at the ATA.
I actually just watched it the other day.
He just watched it.
I feel like it was bad.
Well, my guys video? Finally
what video is this?
Oh, shit. It's
I feel like we did bad.
Yeah. Well, no, they went around, my guys went around and they asked all the media personalities that were there, like, besides your own show, if you have one, what's your favorite hunting show to watch? We just wanted to get an idea of like what all the other people are watching.
I feel like me
and you guys were
bad,
like, definitely not Bowhunter Die because that's like the worst show out there.
Well, I didn't know about this.
You can't set us up like that and expect that not to happen.
Yeah, somehow they got Steve and Doug of all the freaking people.
You got our alternatives.
I told you to get celebrities.
Yeah, we're Sailor with Rutt Daniels.
That is true. You said celebrities.
Yeah, and your boys come up. We're Sailor with Rutt Daniels, and your boys come up. They're like, hey, can we get a video of you guys with celebrities? I'm like, yeah, go ahead and gear up, Rutt. They're like, well, you guys too. Like, no.
We're sitting next to Rutt Daniels. Like, yeah, get Rutt. No, you too. I'm like,
do you want us to do this serious? And he's like, I don't know. Justin just told us to get whoever we can. I'm like, all right,
whoever we can.
I'm like, we're out to barbecue him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't give a fuck what you guys do. So we did it.
That's really funny. I didn't know about that.
I didn't either.
It was amazing. We were hoping it would pop out because it was fun.
It never came out, though. They hate us.
I don't know.
I don't blame them. Can you blame them? Would you troll them like that on their own video? Of course they're not going to air it.
No, but it was, why it was can't funny. We troll?
Hey, no, I enjoyed it. I appreciate it. Good humor.
Okay. I was going to say, like, you guys could have plugged us. We could have been on a video with Bo Hunter.
We had the hats on.
No, we did. We're like, yeah, because I think we said we're from Working Class Bo Hunter, and they were like, oh, what's your favorite? Yeah, it was fun. It was hilarious. We were laughing. I tried not to laugh when Doug was doing his.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
It's good.
Kurt, what do you got?
I was not sober.
Thank you, Eric.
Justin, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you. I knew it was going to be a good time. I appreciate you kind of like, I like the mid-school, old-school for us type conversation. Yeah. That really, like, I don't know. I love that type of stuff.
No yeah. Bullshit.
So I appreciate you kind of taking us a trip down, like, the history of where you've been and kind of brought me back a little bit to me growing up in the hunting game. So I'd appreciate your time and you taking us through that whole journey.
No problem, guys.
Well, anyway, man, time to close her out. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.